We read to you from God's holy word, the first part of John 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he does do us God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asks me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee in thy long suffering and in thy tender mercy to bring us in this evening in this house of worship to place ourselves round about the candlestick of thy eternal word and testimony. We are all creatures who can by nature not appreciate the privileges and the blessings bestowed upon us from day to day, but also where we have thy word and testimony amongst us, and that we are instructed from the days of our youth what is necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace. So many are strangers of the doctrine of free and sovereign grace, and know the least idea what is necessary shall be well for their great and ever-ending eternity, that we take to heart, Lord, and that in this evening thy Holy Spirit may lead us into all the truth, but that it also was accompanied with divine power in our heart and in our soul, that it bears fruit worthy to repentance, to the honor of thy great name and attributes, but also to the salvation of our immortal and ever-dying souls. Thou speakest and it is her. Thou commandest and it stands firm. There is nothing too wonderful for thee. That thy people be edified in their most holy faith, and that what has happened in their life, that it came back, but also that there something was added to it for their own heart, and that they receive that knowledge of a triune God, wherein that knowledge is eternal life. The darkness is many times great in the hearts of thy people. There is so much strife, time and again. But Lord, show thyself in thy condescending love and mercy, and that the Holy Spirit enlighten thy people, and that thy word be confirmed in their heart, that they will give the Lord all the praise, the honor and the glory, and that many were added to that number that thou wilt and shall be saved. Thou speakest and it stands firm. Remember all those that cannot gather with us. Remember that young mother who was operated and a part of the lake was taken off. Thou knowest her with her family in their needs and in their wants, and in all that pain, as we have seen also in this day, and what is so needful for her to go on through this life. But above all that she could say with David, it was good for me to be afflicted, and that thy name be glorified in all those deep ways held with her and with her family. One of our daughters who was operated yesterday, thy hand has strengthened her to come through it, made further everything well. Also with another mother that is also in the hospital, and thou knowest the circumstances of her too, waiting for some report that she will receive. The needs and wants are great and manifold, and we are so helpless in ourselves, outwardly and inwardly. We are so dependent from thee in the recovering of our bodies, but also for our soul, that all those warnings and admonitions never shall testify against us. Remember all the sick and all the afflicted in the homes and in the hospitals with doctors and nurses. Remember all the widows, orphans and widowers in their lonesome life. Supply the needs of the country and of thy church, and give also him who is called in this evening to speak thy word the guidance of thy Holy Spirit, that thy eyes were open over us, that there were Aarons and Hurs amongst us, but above all, that the strength of the Most High and his light and truth be our guide in this evening, made us not be ashamed, but give some edifying words to the honor of thy name and the welfare of many souls. Forgive all our sins and all our transgressions, and hear us for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 108. I waited for the Lord, my God, yea, patiently draw near, and he at length inclined to me my pleading cry to hear. Number 108. Beloved congregation, the commemoration of that great event that the Holy Spirit was sent upon earth in the midst of the congregation and in the hearts of the disciples that lays again behind us. But you know that in regard to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there is so much wit involved. And it is most of the time a custom that after Pentecost, the first weeks, that we speak time and again about the Holy Spirit and of the work of the Holy Spirit. We will do so this evening also. My text for this evening is in the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Thus far. Last Sunday evening, we have heard that the Holy Spirit, in his coming, but also in his work, is compared with the wind. There was, on the day of Pentecost, a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. That last part of the text that refers not so much to the building, but that refers especially to the people that was in that building. And the main thing what I have read to you this evening out of John 16, that Christ himself has declared about the coming of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit shall glorify Christ. And our text this evening, that is also connected with it. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. What have taken place on the day of Pentecost, that was visible, but also there happened something what they have heard with their ears. They have seen that people that was there present, that there appeared unto them, unto the disciples, cloven tongues like as of fire. Because on the day of Pentecost have taken place three special things in regard to the life of the apostles of Christ. In the first place, those apostles were in that day confirmed in the state for eternity. After that day, They were no more in doubt in that respect whether that they were loved by the Lord, yes or no. There was a respect to their state for eternity, no more doubt. That was also in regard to the condition in which they were too. Because before, and you find that in the life of God's children too, before that, then it is most of the time a life of up and down. Then there is so much, and there are so many things in the life, that the question comes up, is it in accordance with what the Lord has revealed in His holy word? In other words, there is also in regard to the daily life, there is so much doubt, because that is in the life of God's people always. There are so many contradictions. The question that come up so many times, whether that all can take place and still that they have grace in their heart. But now the disciples in the day of Pentecost, they were confirmed in their daily condition too. Christ, of course, He had told them before already that afterwards they would understand it. And that time, that was now there for the disciples too. And in the third place, in Luke 5, they were already called as fishers of men. And even after the resurrection of Christ, in John 21, then Peter, he said, I go fishing. Because he had to do something, and when that the Lord would come back to them, that was also an open question. But now, after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, was it no more a question whether that they were called by the Lord, yes or no. That was as a rock, so firm, on account that the Holy Spirit was given unto them, and that there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. The disciples, they came out of Galilee. Unlearned people. They never have, as Paul, a professor to teach them. You would say, Christ was the teacher, and that is right. But now outside of Christ, they have no college, no university at all. But now on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit qualified the disciples. Therefore you read in that text, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. In the first place, they need a tongue to speak. You know, one of the objections of Isaiah when he was called by the Lord was that he was too young. And before that, Moses, he had also objections. He said, I cannot speak. My brother Aaron is more gifted. He is able to do it. But of course, the Lord sent that Moses, and he qualified him also. Because to preach the word, then we need a tongue. To make known what the Lord had revealed unto us. They appeared unto them, said the text, cloven tongues. Cloven tongues, that means divided tongues. You read that not later on in the Bible, but you read that only on the day of Pentecost. Because the position of the apostles was different in the church as that it was and it is with a minister. We have a common ministration, an ordinary ministration, but the apostles, they have an extraordinary ministration. They were called by the Lord to lay the foundation of the church of the New Testament. We are not called for that in that respect. No. Cloven tongues. Christ had told them already in Luke 24 that they have to go back to Jerusalem, to that city of blood where Christ was crucified, to preach there the gospel. And then from Jerusalem they have to go to Samaria, to that people, you read about them in the Bible, that they would not receive Christ on account that he would not stay there. He would pass that city, but not to stay. And then they were not so friendly to Christ. And as some of the disciples, they asked that the Lord would send fire from heaven to destroy the people. But then Christ, he said, you don't know of what spirit you are. But then after Samaria, then they have to go over the whole world to preach the gospel. They say even that Thomas, that he came in Indonesia. There were some in Spain. Other ones came in Italy. They never, when they were young, they never have thought that when they were living in Galilee, that they ever would come over the whole world to preach the word of God. And then, of course, there was something else. You read that in verse 4, that they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They would receive such a gift from the Lord that they one moment they could speak in that language Another moment they could speak in another different language. Because it is not so that they spoke one language and that all the people could understand them. No, that is absolute a lie, and that is a minimizing of that miracle and that wonder that the Lord has wrought on the day of Pentecost. And we have to be careful, congregation, that we never follow those ideas, and that we never do believe that, because that is a minimizing of the almighty power of the Lord. Those fishermen of Galilee, they have spoken in divers tongues. And the Lord, he had used them to the building up of the church from age to age. There appeared unto them cloven tongues. But now it follows that those cloven tongues were like as of fire. And that is especially what we will explain to you in this evening. In the second verse, then the Holy Spirit is compared with the wind, with the power of the wind, with the wind that breaks down, that breaks off. In other words, that we become a sinner before the Lord. Even that we are brought up in the religious way, it is for us people incomprehensible. There is not one that can understand the birth of a child coming in the world. But so, we can also never understand with our mind the wonderful power of the Lord in the conversion of a sinner. But now that is also, when you read in verse 3, that cloven tongues appeared like as of fire. And now the question that is, why is the Holy Spirit compared by fire personally in the life of every individual that is converted, as also in the life of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, there is an awful power in the wind, but also an awful power in a fire. Time and again, you hear about it, you read about it, you see it sometimes for your eyes. Factories, sometimes millions and millions of dollars is involved as a result of fire. You have in the Bible that example that the Lord rained from heaven, from the Lord, brimstone and fire, and the whole city, Sodom, Gomorrah, and to other cities, they were destroyed. And now you can realize, congregation, especially in regard to my text, why that now the spirit is compared with fire.
Wat een divine miracle. And wonder that have to be taken place in the life of men to be converted. You read by Bunyan that that city in which he was living, that city, the name was Destruction, that burned up. And Bunyan had to go out. He had not desired to go out, but to save his life, then he had to go out. And so is it in the conversion of a sinner too. That fire in the realm of nature, where there comes that burns up all things. So it is in the conversion of a sinner too. We are all dead in trespasses and sins. We have our element in the world and in sin. And there is not one in the world that have desired to leave the world. No one have desired to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways. And now it is such a blessing, congregation, that the Lord with his word comes to people that never asked for his word. The Lord, he come, and it is so necessary that that doctrine remains with us too, and that we never shall leave that and forsake that, but when the Lord comes in our life, then that person that is totally dead, totally. Thus, in other words, there is no moving on the side of a man. It is a one-sided work of the Lord. And when the Lord come with that fire of the Holy Spirit, then immediately, then the Lord takes away the desire to serve longer the devil. He takes away the love to the world. And he gives another inclination of our heart. We come on our knees as a sinner. A poor sinner, we have to learn that later on. But we come as a sinner before the Lord. And it is the Lord that works in the heart of that sinner a prayer and a supplication after the Lord and after that communion with the Lord. The things that never were in our mind, where we were never bothered with, that is now filling our heart and our mind. We see before our eyes, and we believe it with our heart, that the world passes away with all the lust thereof. Let I try to say it in two words. When the Lord come, even that we were so healthy that we never have to use any pills and have any medicine, but a healthy person, that humanly speaking that we could well live well 100 years, but then we have to die the same day. We have to die the same day. And there's an eternity that comes behind us. And what bothered that people, that is this. The same as you read in Psalm 51, where David declared, against thee I have sinned, and I have done what is evil in thy sight. They become for himself the greatest sinner, the wretched one that there is in the world. Everybody is a sinner. Of course, we all have sinned in Adam, but we know it personal for ourselves what a great sinner that we are. I told you many times that the Lord, when he started, then he gave that people light to look backward, and he gave them also light to look forward. And looking backward, then it is nothing else than their sins and then their transgressions that they have provoked the Most High God. And there is something else involved. And that is a point we have also to realize that. And it is well necessary that we also emphasize that. The people that learn to cry for grace and for mercy, but they never pray that the Lord shall change his sentence over them, and that he shall soften his punishment. No. We have a clear example of it in the conversion of that thief on the cross. That man, he said, we are worthy. We receive what we have done. That man, he was also not asking the Lord to deliver him from the cross. And he asked the Lord not to keep him out of hell, no. Or to come in heaven, there was nothing in his mind than the justice and the righteousness of God. But only, Lord, remember me. The Gation, where did I come from? Where that comes from, that is oh so simple. When the Lord converts a sinner, then immediately in regeneration he receives back what he had lost in heaven. And what was it that he lost in Adam? Love to God and love to his neighbor. Dus when the Lord regenerates a sinner, then immediately he received back love to God and love to his neighbor. And then the love to God that is standing in the foreground, that is standing above everything. But they can expect when the Lord opened their eyes, that is that he shall cast them away forever. That is what they expect, people. They are worthy to be cast away out of God's sight. And you have to hear, when you hear something in the world, and there is so much talk, you know it self. Oh, there is so much talk. But wrong talk most of the time. But if a soul is really converted, then the Lord comes on the foreground. Yeah. I will say something about it this evening. That soul that is ready to cry as long as he is living over his sins and over his transgressions. He hopes that his eyes shall never be dry in his whole life. And that is not that the Lord shall be moved on account of our tears, no. But that is that they are realizing in their heart that they have provoked the Lord. That they have done what is evil in his sight. For that people is sin unforgettable, but also never to be forgiven. For them personally. You know, we speak about the unpardonable sin, the sin against the Holy Ghost. But in himself, then all the sins are unpardonable. In himself are all the sins unpardonable. But the greatest grief and sorrow that is because they have provoked the Lord. An holy and justice and a merciful God. Their whole life that comes back. And they see the mercies and the blessings that the Lord had granted to them in their life. And then, notwithstanding that all, that they have sinned against the highest majesty of God. Not sorry of ourselves, no. Not sorry of ourselves, people. No. If the Lord would send that man to hell, then he did the same thing as you read in the Bible of Lot. When the Lord drove that man out of Sodom, then he not never looked back to that son. His wife did it. But not Lot. No. And so it is with the people. They are so convinced, congregation. So convinced that they have rebelled against the Lord, provoked him, sinned against him, and it is unpardonable for them as long as the Lord revealed that precious blood of Christ to them, the Son of God, that washes and cleanses from all our sins. You read in the life of Ledeboer, that on his deathbed, and we all know what a man it was, with so much grace from the Lord. But even on his deathbed, then he was not bothered that he once, as a little boy, stole an apple of his mother. That came on his deathbed not back to him. It was forgiven, oh yes, but still he was not bothered with that before he died. Now you would toch say, ja, wat is nou toch een apple? What is now an apple? But for that man it became sin. And he was bothered with it. And now, if everybody look back to his own life, people, it is a mountain, it is a stream of sins, of iniquities. Let I say it no different. It is all sin, our whole life. But now, through the love of Christ, congregation, through the love of Christ that is poured out in their heart, they have that sorrow in their soul. And I told you sometime in sermons that if God's people have no tears in their eyes, then many times they have tears in their heart. Tears in their heart, people. And those that sow with tears, that shall reap with joy. And then another thing, in regeneration, the Lord, he is doing a perfect work. Many times it happens that buildings burned out, churches sometime. I can remember that when I came here, that in the east, close by our church, there was a church that burned out on some day. And for years and years that lay there, some pieces. I don't know because I are coming no more in that neighborhood most of. But for years then lay that there. They never built it up. Never. Sometime they have to break down everything, even to the foundations. And so it is in the life of God's people, when that fire of the Spirit comes, that burns up and that burns down. That is outwardly congregation, but that is inwardly in their heart the same thing. Inwardly the same. Because the Lord revealed by his Spirit the right character of sin. And as sometimes it can bother that people so much that they sometimes rather die than live longer on account of that corruption of their heart. And that they are realizing what their life is before the Lord, what their life must be, what their life must be, and what their life is. But that is all the results, because the work of the Lord in regeneration, that is a perfect work. And now there are people that can later on well complain with David, how cleaves my soul to the dust. They can condemn himself. They can sometimes go so far away from the Lord. Jesus Vermeer, he said in a sermon, that a child of God can be some so far away that it is even, yeah, humanly speaking, not for the Lord, but humanly speaking, that he can never be called back so far away. You can find it in his catechism.
in his catechism. And when I was reading that sometime, I thought, yes, so it can be for God's children, that they think, shall I ever come back? But the Lord shall never leave and never forsake the work of his own hand, people. And it is the same as in the realm of nature. When there is a fire, sometime they try to quench it. All those engines, they go along on the street, and the police cars behind it, and they do everything what they can do. Sometime it prospers, yes. Sometime they say, we have it under power. We have it under control, is a better word. We have it under control, but that is here not so. No. No, no. That's not never under control. The Lord, he goes through. The Lord, he goes through. And then in the realm of nature, when there is a fire van a house of a building of what it is, then many times you read in the papers, the cause of the fire is unknown. Hey? Unknown. Yeah. But still it burns up. And now there is people in the church, they say, I don't know. I don't know if I know that the Lord has started. If I have those evidences in my heart that the Lord was the first one. But still there is one thing, people, and that is that they can no more live in sin. And their daily prayer that is to be delivered from sin and to be restored into fellowship and communion with the Lord. They lay time and again on their knees. And there are moments then they can declare before the Lord, not always, but there are moments that they can say, Lord, I hate it with all the hatred that is in my heart. And if I could pull it out and cast away that it so far, that it never came back, then they did it. They would sign their name for that. And that is not to stay out of hell and to come into heaven. No. But that is to glorify the Lord in the life. And another thing, people, justification, that is one thing, but sanctification that is connected with it and that can never and never be separated from it. Never. Those that are justified, they are also sanctified. And many times the Lord, he opened deep ways in the heart of that people and in the life of that people to break with sin and with the world and to give their heart unto the Lord and that they walk in his ways and that notwithstanding all the strife that there is to cleave unto the Lord and to walk in his ways, to do his will, his holy commandments, the delight of their heart, as we sing now together, out of number 249. 249. Though fierce and treacherous foes assail, their power and wrath shall not prevail. Their cruel strength, their venomous spite, thou shalt overcome with conquering might.
249, the third and the fourth stanza. En nou in de realm of nature, wanneer er is een fire, they start and try to stop it. Here, that is impossible. That is impossible. That goes farther and farther. First, the old worldly things, you can see it when the Lord comfort a sinner. Then even outwardly, you can see it to the people. Yeah. And nowadays you say, oh, what a foolishness. What a foolishness. In 1940, when we had that war in the Netherlands, maybe I told you more, but yeah, if you become old, you mind that there's no more as it was before. I realized that all the time. More and more. But I came the first Sunday in boy in my church. The house of his mother and brothers and sisters burned up with the bombs. They have nothing within the world. And he had one sister that was living close to my church. That was after 3 days that he was in the country, my walking and walking. And crying over his sins. That he came on Saturday evening by his sister. And he never go to a church. He had done as a boy from 15 years or 16, but no later on. No later on. And finally, he was in Rotterdam, in that city where those bombs came over that city on Tuesday afternoon. And finally in a house under an upstairs, there he was sitting there, and there he expect to go to hell. There he expect to go to hell. The only thing his mother have learned him as boy, to ask the Lord for mercy. That was the only thing what he say laying there under the stairs. Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, be merciful. But I make it my short. He came in that church 3 times. And the next evening he was walking by my house. And he said to that oldest boy of me, he said, is the minister here living in that house? He said, yes. Yes. Can I talk with him? Oh, he said, I think, there you go, maar you ring the bell and you come well in the house. He will well talk with you. And then the first thing that that boy asked was, what people that have written a letter about him to me. Because he said, three times yesterday, you say to that people what a bad boy I am. Yeah. Three times. Dominic Kersen gave him a Bible because he go later on to that church. And he had even no Bible. No. But one evening he came back by our house. And then, yeah, order, he heard him. His hair was not as Absalom, humanly speaking. But then it was all saved. Yeah, it was all off. And in black, black suit. Not the same as that he was a man for 75 years. I say, Pete, what has now happened? Yeah, he said, I have to do that now. I have to do that now because I will live with that people and I have to live as that people is living. Yeah, 23 years old maybe, not older. Yeah. Later on, then he had learned something else, of course. Yeah, but still, I give that man as an example, people. Yeah, as an example. God and the world, it goes not together. It goes not together, people. No. Children, boys and girls, think about it. Think about it. And when that fire is burning, then it goes farther and farther. Can you prove it with the Bible too? Oh, yes. I shall give you this evening one text. And that text that is in the, by the prophet Zechariah. The 8th chapter, the last verse. Thus says the Lord of hosts. In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a you, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. There's 10 people out of different languages. That is the fruit of that fire. That fire. The result. We shall go with you because we have seen that the Lord is with you. And you have the same thing in Psalm 122, because there it is, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within the gates, O Jerusalem. And you see it in the history of Naomi with that Ruth, with that daughter-in-law. She go with her. And she said, even I have this coming night at Shelt. You cannot wait for it. Go back, but she go not back. No. The God of Naomi. She was cleaving unto him. Yeah. And when that fire is burning, oh, then we see that people as holy people. We see that people as blessed people. We see that people that have a future. for time and for eternity. That is when the fire burns, and oh, personally in our own heart congregation, if that fire is burning, oh, then it shall be in our life the same thing as with the Apostle Paul, where he said in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Not his material body, no, but the power of sin. That was it, that he would be delivered from it. And that is now with God's people the same thing. I have several points more, people, but if the Lord spared us, even that is a month later, then we hope to talk us further about it. I thought it is well worthy this evening. It is well warm, but oh, if it matters, it's warm inside, people. Hey? Then we could sit all the time here. But there's another side and time for everything. Thus I shall stop this evening and ask that question, whether that there came well as a fire in our heart. A fire that we could no longer live with the world, and that we can no more live with ourselves. That is finally. First we cannot live with the world, and later on we cannot live with ourselves. That's in the way of sanctification. Then there is not the one that we hate with such an hate than ourselves. That body of sin, that power of sin, because that is always making that trouble inside, and that make time and again that separation between the Lord and our soul. And now we have to know something of it. Shall it be well for the great and ever-ending eternity? The time is short, people. The time is short. The callings are many, many. Tuesday morning before the operation, I was sitting with that young mother in the hospital and with her parents. Before that the doctors took off the leg. This morning we were sitting there again. And we have sought God's face with her. Because in deep way, yeah, in deep way. It was not without reason that I asked you someday to ask the Lord for her and to remember her. And above all that the Lord applied this to their heart, that she could say later on, it was good for me to be afflicted. And another thing, congregation. Yesterday we have visits, several families in Baldwin, and talk with that people and prayed with that people. But oh, the ignorance, the ignorance. There is no word for, no word. And if you then think about the mercies of the Lord that we from our early days, have heard the truth. Hey? And what a labor that the Lord bestowed upon us still today and still in this evening. Oh, that Sodom and Gomorrah, that Capernaum, that queen of Sheba, the Ninevites, that they never shall stretch out their hand towards us, but that we may learn to bow before the Lord, before that is too late, and before that it is too late forever. Oh, and now that fire of the Holy Spirit, oh, that we were made concerned about it before that death comes and eternity comes, and that we know something, that we have sinned against the Lord and that we are separated from Him. But now to reveal in Christ a way where the law can never deliver us, only can condemn us. But there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless the few words for our heart. Remember us with the congregation of us bearers. Remember each and every one as travelers to eternity. Forgive our sins. Bring us back the next Sabbath day. And hear us for thy great name's sake. Amen. 334, the first stanza. 334. Thy words sheds light upon my path, a shining light that guides my feet. Thy righteous judgments to observe, my solemn vow I now repeat. Number 334, the first stanza. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.